That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Joe's Weather World, your only weather podcast dedicated to Kansas City.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition as we finish off 2019 of Joe's Weather World, a podcast devoted to all things weather and a few other things, climate science, stuff like that. And we want to thank you so much for listening in, listening all year long. We've already got plans for our next podcast, which will actually be posted, I believe, in early January, first couple of days of January. Michelle Bogowith, and I are going to do a year in review and looking at some of the top weather stories for Kansas City, at least, over the past year or so. And we've got a lot to talk about with her. She's in the process now, as a matter of fact, of putting together a story that we'll be sharing with you here on Fox 4 sometime in the next about 7 or 10 days, so look for that. Our guest for today, though, joining me in Joe's Weather World, and by the way, I should mention that if you don't know what Joe's Weather World is, this is a world where everybody gets the weather they want.
That's right.
It's a fantasy world. I get my snowstorms. I get my 70-degree golf days, and it's all good. Okay, so everybody gets the weather they want. If you hate snow, you get that weather. If you love snow, you get that weather. And I wanted to introduce our guest for today, and he's our newest member of the Fox 4 weather team, Alex County. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. Welcome aboard. Thank you for having me here.
So Alex now brings our staff for the first time since I've been here, and I've been here now 25 years. For the first time since I've been here, now we are up to 5 full-time meteorologists, the largest staff in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And we're just thrilled with that. So, Alex, welcome aboard. I know you're excited, right?
I am so excited. I've already been doing a couple of noon shows and just getting my feet wet, and I'm ready to do some more.
So I wanted to kind of introduce our viewers, listeners to the podcast, to Alex, kind of give you an idea what makes Alex tick when it comes to weather and stuff like that. And so we're going to start with Alex. It's almost like you're lying on a couch. We're doing a little examination here. We're trying to figure you out. So Alex, first of all, and most importantly, because I love this, where are you from?
I am from Kansas City, Missouri.
See, that's why I love
it. From right here, yeah.
So I was telling somebody up above us the other day that I just think, and I don't know if you've thought about it all that much, you probably have, I just think that when you can literally come home and get to do the weather in the town that you grew up in, I just think that's cool beans.
And, you know, that was the dream. Uh-huh. That was honestly the dream for me. When I first discovered that I wanted to do weather, that I wanted to do broadcast meteorology, I'm like, you know what? It'd be pretty cool to do it at home. For my mom and dad to wake up, turn on the TV, go to whatever channel it may be, Fox 4 in this case, and they see my face giving them the weather forecast for the day. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. I've seen you do it. I've seen Brian Busby do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just... That would be the coolest thing ever for my, not only my family, but my friends that are still here. They've been texting
so they
me like crazy.
Yeah.
And this started back in college, but now it's even more so, about 10 times more now that I'm back here. So it's awesome to do.
All right. So let's go back even further. And I always like to ask my guests, especially those who are connected to weather, what was the, for me it was snow.
Yeah.
What was the initial thing with you that kind of, you know what? That might be kind of cool to do. What was there any one thing? Was it a series of things? What was it?
Well, really, it all started back in the early 2000s. I think we were talking about this last week when we had that ice storm
around the January time frame,
January, February, like 2002, I want to say, something like that. And this was when I was a real little kid, so I didn't really know much.
Okay.
Didn't really know what ice could do, how dangerous it was. And obviously, it was a very crippling amount of ice at our house. We lost power for about 5 to 7 days. So that was obviously a very, very big problem. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And never gone back since.
Did you ever consider, as you were kind of growing up, got into college and stuff like that,
yeah.
did you ever consider, what about something else?
once the calculus classes hit, once the physics classes hit, you're like, you know what? I could do something else so much easier.
So much easier, right?
And I could be spending a lot less time here in the library than I am right now. But, you know, I always just knew that, you know, Alex, you wanted to do this for a long time. You had a goal. You got to go out and you got to do it.
Good for you.
And here I am.
So for me, and I think I've told this story before. I know I've told it to others. Mm-hmm. I was the same way. I grew up, and for me, it was third grade. I just knew it then.
Yeah.
And got to intern at TV station in New York City growing up. And so I knew this was it. But getting into college, knowing that, okay, here we go. But just like you, the math and the physics and the calculus, Oh my gosh, the calculus. And so, I'm proud to say it took me a couple of Calc 2 classes, one in summer school, to plod through. Because what people don't know is you have to, at least for us, when I was in school, you had to get a certain grade. I think it was like a C or better. You couldn't fail.
Right.
To move on to the next level.
That's exactly right.
And that was a struggle.
Yeah. It was dicey. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It was dicey early on. Luckily for me, though, I had engineers for roommates.
Oh.
And they were all a couple steps ahead of me. So free tutors helped quite a bit.
I had a pre-med student, and he could tell me why I was getting an ulcer about this whole process. So it wasn't very helpful at all. Not very helpful at all. All right, so you went. Where did you go to school?
I went to Mizzou for college. Did my degree in about 4 years, and then after that, went to South Bend, Indiana, where I was at the ABC station there for about 2.5, and then...
And then here in Kansas City.
Here I am.
So we have, and I talked to a large number of folks, and there are a large number of folks within the TV world that have gone to Mizzou. Gary,
yep.
Frank went to Mizzou. Michelle Bogowith went to Mizzou. What is it about Mizzou? And I went to St. Louis University, and I don't even think I, from New York, I even don't even think Mizzou was on my radar back then. But what is it about Mizzou that you think draws a lot of kids to their program?
That's a good question. First of all, when I went on my school visit, obviously Mizzou was in the front running there just because it was closer to home. The in-state tuition is very nice.
Yep.
That is fantastic. But it was really just the program. I liked the size of it, the physical size, the number of students there were. It wasn't too big. It wasn't Oklahoma and Penn State and Iowa State. Those are all great meteorology schools. But I felt like I would have been overwhelmed, especially as a college freshman. You're in a new environment, new state in those situations. And you get a little bit shell-shocked. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that it was only 90 students as opposed to 250, and it wasn't too small. I also visited Creighton, and that was a little bit smaller than I wanted. So it was right in that sweet spot. So that's what I first thought after my visit. But the professors there is what really sold me. There are a lot of very good professors that, first of all, cared about the students. Mm-hmm. They really, 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 really wanted them to know how it all worked, because there's obviously, there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to weather and atmosphere and just meteorology in general, and how it all meshes together and how it all flows from day to day. So there's a lot to keep track of, and there's a lot that is very, very confusing, and there's a lot that we still don't really know about it. So just explaining all those finer details to kind of get a more complete and more wholesome view of the atmosphere, that's what I really liked as well. And they are also very, very helpful if I ever had questions. I was in office hours plenty of times with those professors.
How
really
much
helped me out.
Did you know, like for me, it was, I kind of knew I wanted to do television, but getting that first job is really, really difficult, obviously.
It is.
Did you know all along that TV was going to be your route to go?
I think so. The love of weather obviously set in first when I was a little kid. Then I probably got to about 7th or 8th grade, and then I realized that, there's got to be a way that I can clearly communicate that forecast to the public. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there are ways outside of TV to do that, but you know, I've always watched the local news,
right?
And I felt like that was the best way to kind of get that information throughout the day.
Okay,
and I knew that that was probably the best avenue for me.
How did Mizzou train you? And this is where I'm envious, because
yeah.
at St. Louis University, granted, many moons ago, we had no television facility. We barely had a radio facility. So we had no real way of training along those lines.
Right.
How did Mizzou train you for the television side of things?
Well, like you said, I was very lucky. In Columbia, there was KOMU, the mm-hmm. embassy affiliate there, owned by the university. And the J School, all the J School students worked there. Luckily, I was able to get a internship there through my broadcast meteorology professor, Eric Aldridge.
Okay.
And that's kind of how it first started. I would kind of shadow him, some of the other meteorology students that were weathercasters at KOMU, and that's how I got my initial foot in the door. And that was back in 2015, I believe. And then the next school year, that's when I was working there doing the Tuesday night 9 and 10 p.m. weathercasts.
So how do they structure things? Do they give students a couple of shows every week, or how does that work?
Well, when I was there, you did the internship first for a semester. Then afterwards, you were either allowed to continue or they kind of had to let you go in a way. Luckily, I got through that first hurdle and I was allowed to continue there. And there was only me and a couple of other interns that were allowed to stick around outside of the original weather staff.
Okay.
So we are each given one day during the week. For me, it was Tuesday, to do one or two newscasts, just depended on what we wanted to do. So that's kind of how I fell into that role. And then that Tuesday slot turned into Saturday afternoons and Saturday nights. I would do the 6, 9, and 10, mm-hmm. and I kind of just stuck with that throughout the rest of my college career.
And did they pay you for this?
Towards the end.
Towards the end.
Towards the very end. I think it was that last semester. I'm like, oh, hey, here's minimum wage, by the
right.
way. And I'm like, oh, that's great.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Kind of an
so
oh,
in a way, this
thing.
Actually kind of works out for the station, because they're
oh, yeah.
getting a facet of their news done and not necessarily for essentially no pay.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
so pretty
that
much.
Works out well for them.
Yeah, very
but
smart.
It, but it's a, you know, I make a joke, but it's a great way / avenue for folks like you,
right,
to practice, to start honing your craft, as opposed
exactly.
to not knowing what the heck you're doing.
Right.
Get on the air right now.
Yeah, and that's honestly the hardest part.
Yeah,
because you gotta learn how you act in front of a camera that's comfortable to you. It's different for every person.
Right.
And that takes a lot of time. I mean, it took me probably about a year until I was like, okay, I'm fully comfortable. I feel comfortable moving around. I feel comfortable mm-hmm. ad-libbing or, you know, just going off the cuff and chatting with the anchors as well. That took a lot of time to develop that kind of relationship and just kind of how it all works.
So do you... And since you've only been doing this now for a handful of years,
mm-hmm.
do you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, I was awful?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I remember my first weather show. I was just so quiet. I mean, I'm naturally kind of a quiet person. Uh-huh. I really had to work on my volume over the last couple of years. But my first one, I was like, today is going to be 64 degrees.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is going to be 34. Like, you know, it's just very monotone. So that's gotten a lot better. And I'm still going to try to work through that kind of stuff.
Somewhere out there on, I think it's on YouTube, and I was rooting through our basement a couple of months ago, and I found a bunch of old tapes, and I'm not exactly
Ooh.
Sure what's on said tapes, but I know they go back. And somewhere out there on YouTube is, because I like to pull it out and show it every like 5 years or so. And I think I did it back in April because it was my 35th anniversary of starting out this business.
Oh, man.
And, I had hair. that's usually the most shocking thing of all. And be, growing up, I was I think I was kind of like you in a sense. I was very quiet. My mother still to this day says, "I can't believe you're out there like you're out there."
Yeah.
You know, because I was very, I don't want to say withdrawn, that wasn't the case, but I wasn't very much into the public talk, you know.
Yeah,
it
sure.
Just would freak me out a little bit.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Book reports, whatever.
Yep.
I was not comfortable doing
right.
that.
Right, public speaking is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, the root of this story is that my first show, from what I remember of it, aside from the hair, is that my arms and hands were flying around so much, I mean, it looked like I was landing an aircraft carrier. I was either nervous, and I'm Italian, and I talk with my hands anyway. And I look back at those days, and they were great days, I think. But, yeah, holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
holy
crazy.
Holy moly. It's incredible.
Yeah, and it's really cool just to see just a couple of years of change. Like I right. said, that was back in 2015. It's 2019 now, so it really wasn't that long ago, but I think I've made good strides. And also just my overall appearance, I think, is a lot more professional. Like back in college, it's college.
Right.
You know,
no clothes,
yeah,
aside from
yeah.
jeans and whatever.
Very basic
yes.
stuff. What's also, I think, what sets me apart from everybody else is that my hair was physically bigger. It's still on YouTube, by the way. Like if you just Google Alex County YouTube, you'll find one of my first old videos, and it's a righteous fro. It's some tall hair.
Nice.
So
impressive.
You know, I had to cut that down, obviously.
Do a little trim.
Yeah.
All good.
But
all
you
good.
Know, I had to do at least one video like this.
So, all right. So you start out, you realize pretty much right away that yeah, this is my career path, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, did you have a struggle? You're graduating now.
Yeah.
It's time to actually get paid.
Yeah.
As opposed to minimum wage.
That's good.
For a job. So now, how was that search process for you? How did you end up in South Bend?
Actually, I was really lucky. During my spring break senior year, didn't really do a whole lot of spring break stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of went back home to Kansas City and immediately just looking up jobs online, came across ABC 57 and, you know, shot them my resume and reel and everything else like that. And I applied to like 20 some odd places. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, I was going
and
everywhere.
Were you getting rejected or were you just not hearing back?
Just not hearing back.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was anywhere from, like, Idaho Falls, Idaho, mm-hmm. to, you know, I don't know, somewhere in
wherever.
Ohio, yeah,
right.
Maine, you know, wherever.
Because within this business, for those of you, and most of you probably don't know, typically you don't go from college to high-paying television job
right.
as your first step.
Yes.
Back in the day, it used to take 3 or 4 or 5 steps, and we've kind of eliminated a few of those steps these days. But it's a challenge because with how many people in TV do you think were in your class or wanted to get into TV?
There is at least probably like 5 to 10.
Okay,
I would say
so five to ten for you.
Yeah,
a few from KU.
Yeah,
100, 200 scattered all over the country, and they're all competing essentially for the same jobs.
Right.
Right. So this is where it gets very, very challenging. And this is the reason why, especially in your first job, and it's kind of like this with other careers too, but especially in broadcasting, they don't have to pay you much because you're just desperate.
No, and you just really don't know what the salary is.
Right, and you have no context, really.
Right.
Except
yeah.
that some of your friends are making a lot more money
oh,
doing
yeah.
other things.
Which goes back to the I should have done something else.
Yeah, right? I remember that. Well, all right, so you end up hearing from South Bend.
Yeah.
And they're like, come here. Did you ever say to yourself, well, let me see what else is out there? Or were you kind of like, I'm going to South Bend. Let's get it going.
I did for a little bit. What was really cool was that right after I sent my resume and my reel to South Bend, it only took about 2 or 3 hours to hear a response back.
Really?
So I knew that either
they
really needed a body or they're really interested or a little bit of both.
Uh-huh.
So, and I never had a response back like that in my entire search process. So clearly South Bend was I'm not going to say it was my only option, but it was definitely like, okay, they really want me.
Always nice to be wanted.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's what I went with.
So you you graduate school, and then how far after that did you head off to South Bend?
It was 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It was graduation on May 12th, went up to South Bend over Memorial Day weekend, and then the next week packed up, moved up there.
First, one of the first ones, I'm guessing, in your class slash folks you knew who actually had a job after college?
One of three from what I remember.
Good. Congratulations. Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah, thank you.
Very tough. All right, so you're in South Bend.
Yeah.
And they know that they're getting somebody who is sort of relatively fresh, but with some training.
Right.
And what's your role now at this station in South Bend?
So actually it's pretty similar to the role I have now. I was the number five guy there. I was the weekend morning meteorologist, much like what I'm doing right here. But during the week, I would do little weather, we call them weather breakouts, weather stories. It could have been anything that was a supplement to the forecast, something fresh and new and something a little bit different. Very similar to just regular reporting, but for weather stories. Mm-hmm. So it could have been anywhere from, you know, heavy rainfall, or if there was a lack of rainfall, if we were in a drought, I'd talk a little bit about a drought, how much more rain it would take to kind of bring us back to normal. If there was a cold snap, I would talk about that. Or it could be anything from like weather explainers to, you know, sun dogs, you know, in the wintertime when it's really cold and you get those reflections, that's a tough word, and refractions in the atmosphere and that kind of stuff. And of course, we had a couple good rounds of some serious river flooding up in northern Indiana. And that was a really, really big problem in February 2018. I got about 6 or 7 inches of rain in 3 days. Wow. On top of melting snow 2 weeks prior to that, we got about 17 to 18 inches. So all that water going through
at the same time,
the rivers at the same time,
not good
at all. So that was big.
So for those, you know, I think everybody's probably heard, or most people have probably heard about South Bend because it's Notre Dame.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're now in a pretty decent college town.
Yeah.
How was that experience?
It was a lot of fun. Actually, it made the transition from Columbia to South Bend pretty simple because it was essentially the same type of thing. Yeah. So that made it a little bit more comfortable. But just being around that university with all that history and everything like that, all those cool monuments and sights to see, it was very, very cool. Any time anybody from out of town came to visit me, that was the first stop.
Got to go to campus.
Got to go to campus, yeah.
So you mentioned that you were a fifth. For people who may not know, explain the location in Indiana of South Bend.
Yeah, so it is extreme northern Indiana. South Bend is basically 2 miles away from the Michigan border.
Okay.
So it's actually very similar to this area where we have both Missouri and Kansas in the viewing area. It was Indiana and Michigan in our viewing area. So that's was kind of cool. I got to go to a bunch of different places, not only in Indiana, but Michigan too. We are right on Lake Michigan. South Bend was only about 45 minutes away.
Oh, wow.
From the shoreline. So I've been up there plenty of times talking about beach erosion or high waves during the summer and all kinds of that stuff.
And that leads me to now, I don't want to say it's a fantasy of mine by any stretch of the imagination, but being a snow lover, it's a different animal there.
Yes, it is.
You know, here in Kansas City, if you like snow and we get 20 inches or like last year close to 30 inches of snow, you know, we're celebrating. That's popping the bottles of champagne. We've had a good snow year for us.
Yeah.
But for Great Lake locations, Illinois to some extent, but certainly northern Indiana, Michigan, upstate New York, western New York, parts of Pennsylvania, lake effect snow is a totally different animal.
Oh, and being from Kansas City, I had very little idea of how it worked. Didn't learn a whole lot about it in school, but I knew of it. And what amazed me immediately was the fact that it doesn't stop. The only thing that really turns it off is a change of wind direction. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
And it makes forecasting
a nightmare.
Precise locations of what part of what county is going to get the heaviest snow.
Yeah.
extremely challenging because a 10 degree, like a how to best convey this over a podcast. Think of a put your hand in a direction and move your hand like 2 inches one way or 3 inches one way.
Yeah.
That little change in direction of the wind messes everything up or creates a whole
new problem.
Yeah.
And a perfect example of that is back in November, just a month and a half ago, right before I left, we had a lake effect snow event. And I'm not kidding. We got 18 inches of snow in Elkhart, the biggest city to our east.
Okay.
But 20 miles away in South Bend to the west, we had 5.
Wow.
And you're talking about 20 miles.
Right.
You had that big of a difference. And, oh, by the way, we were supposed to get the 18. Not Elkhart. Elkhart was supposed to get the 5-6 or the 5-8 or whatever it was.
Right.
So, you know, it's just so crazy. And like you said, just a tiny bit of a shift in the wind can completely change your forecast. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about all that snow in, say, Lawrence, Kansas.
Right.
But it changes to the west-northwest, and now we have all that snow in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. It's the same type of thing. And the models consistently can't pick it up because it's such a small scale.
Right.
It's such a small process. And the wind's just too chaotic. You can't narrow it down enough, especially when you're talking about 3 to 4 days out. You know, people always wonder.
It's coming.
You know it's going to be there.
You just can't be precise. Right.
Exactly. And the craziest thing, actually, was that the models would always cut it off way too early. So right off the bat, you have to assume you have to tack on probably 2 to 3 inches of snow to whatever any model says. And that made it especially difficult because you would have one giant system bring rain and then snow. And that could have been a widespread 3 to 4. And then just tiny, tiny narrow bands of 12 plus after it for a day and a half or so.
And this is what the folks up at the Great Lakes deal with. And the great thing for a snow lover is it's going to be around here, if you're a snow lover, and just in the last 10 years, we've seen our lowest snow total, and we've seen some of the really high ones. We're recording this on the anniversary of our blizzard of 2009. We had 6 to 12 inches of snow on Christmas Eve, and, you know, today, Christmas Day, it's 60, 65 degrees.
Yeah.
So, you know, the struggle with us is multiple issues getting a bunch of snow consistently here, which just doesn't happen. But for the Great Lakes, you could almost virtually every year, right?
Yeah.
Count. I mean, it's a rare. Is there a year where you just don't get much, or it's pretty much locked and loaded almost every time?
Right. You're looking at least 40 to 50 inches. You know, I wasn't there for that long, only 2 winters, 3 winters at the most. And, I mean, in those 3 winters, the lowest snowfall total was 55 or 56.
Wow.
And of course,
you're just set.
Yeah.
And you're going to get so now.
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite type of weather?
You know, that's a hard question. I like it all. You know, I really don't have one type of weather that I like more than the other because everything's so different.
Mm-hmm.
In the wintertime, you have cold and snow, but in the summertime, you have the heat, you have the rainfall, you have the severe weather, tornadoes, etc. So everything is so unique in its own way, it's hard to really pin it down for me.
Professionally, if you're communicating on the air on TV,
mm-hmm.
What's your favorite type of weather?
If it's over the air, then I would probably say severe weather in the summertime.
Okay.
Just because it is, like, you're freaking out. It's that, oh my gosh, it's coming moment. And that's when you really need a calming voice. That's when you're really going to be turning to local news. You're not going to be watching the Weather Channel. You're not going to be watching Weather Channel for very long. You're going to be going to the local TV station to see what's actually happening, where it is right now, where it's going, how bad is it, that kind of thing. And I don't have a whole lot of severe weather experience, but back on Memorial Day last May, we had about 7 to 10 tornado warnings through downtown South Bend and downtown Elkhart.
Is that the same system? I'm the same system that we had with the Linwood tornado. Okay.
Yeah.
A couple of days earlier.
Yep.
Okay.
Same exact thing. And that was obviously the two biggest cities in our viewing area. So that was the oh my gosh moment.
Right.
And it was myself and my colleague Tyler. Just us, because it was a holiday. So we were tag teaming at the wall, at the green screen, for about 3.5 continuous hours, tracking those tornadoes. Luckily, thank goodness, nothing actually got all the way to the ground, but there were several reports of funnel clouds, and there was some swirling going on at the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It was dicey.
So professionally, that would be your favorite type of weather to communicate.
Right.
Okay. So now, professionally for me, I hate that.
Yeah.
Hate severe weather.
Yeah.
It has never done anything for me. I've never been one of those. I've done the tornado chasing back in the old days, in the past, and had very tiny little bits of luck with that. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, and I don't know. But for me, at least, professionally, and we all love communicating a gorgeous 70 degrees, sunny, perfect.
That's an easy day.
That's an
easy
day.
We love
those
days.
And we all love it. But professionally to me, communicating snow is my favorite. I find it challenging. Who gets what? And we, you know, you're almost guaranteed to be wrong for somebody. The timing and the rain transitions and all that other stuff. So that gets my juices flowing. So what you're saying is severe weather professionally kind of gets your juices flowing more.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay.
I would say so.
So with your knowledge now in South Bend, you were there for a few years. How long did you start the process of, you know what, time to move on from South Bend? How did that kind of move along?
Well, that was really, it started back late last year.
Okay, so late 18?
Late 18.
Okay.
So actually, I got a email from Dana, our old news director, and she got my information. But obviously couldn't really do anything for me at the time because my original contract with 57 was pretty rigid.
Okay.
There was some pretty strict language in there saying that I couldn't really do anything until the last few months, yada, yada, yada. So really all of the first half of this year was me just kind of waiting it out, beefing up my reel, beefing up my resume. Still sent a few out. Luckily I got in with kind of a headhunter in a way. She helped me get my resume and reel out to people who needed me. Got a lot of calls from stations down in Alabama, another one in Texas, and even a couple in Ohio, and obviously here too. So that really streamlined the process, made it a lot easier for me. But back in August, still really didn't make a whole lot of headway in any one direction. I knew that more than likely, especially with Fox 4 on the table, that was going to be the pick because that's home. That's what I wanted to do, all that. And so I knew that I probably wasn't going to be continuing at 57. I told them that. They said, good luck to you. And I was able to pick things back up with Fox 4, and here I am.
And here you are. So now, not that we're trying to get rid of you.
Yeah.
So here you are. You're in Kansas City. You're forecasting for the city. You're on TV for the city that you grew up in.
Yeah.
Which I mentioned. I just love this. I love the fact that Gary's getting to do it too.
Yeah.
So you're young, a few years out of school.
Yeah.
Do you have a part of the country, hey, you know, I'd love to end up in blank? Or, and nobody would take offense. I wouldn't take offense to this, but is there a particular part of the country you would like to? Do you want to be down by the beach, or do you want to be in a severe weather intensive market, or does this work for you?
You know, honestly, in my grand plan for my life, I never really had anything past Kansas City. I like all four seasons. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it at
right
all.
Place
but
for that.
Yep. But I'm not going to lie to you. Come early February, you're like, all right, let's go. Warmer weather. Come on.
Okay.
So I wouldn't mind going farther south and continuing to deal with warmer weather. But, of course, the closer you get to the Gulf Coast, the more you have to, you know, look out over the water come September for those hurricanes. So, you know, it's a geographical hazard no matter where you are. But I can tell you where I don't want to go. I don't want to go to Phoenix.
You know,
not a big fan of constant, consistent heat. 120-degree
heat.
So that would get old.
I've been, my mom lives out there, and I'll go out there every year and mm-hmm. during the summer and watch the 110-degree forecast day in and day out.
Every day. That just
how
seems.
They get excited about the haboobs. That,
yeah.
You know, that to them is their severe weather.
That is it.
That is, you know, the choppers are up, and we're tracking this huge haboob coming
tracking
into Metro
dust.
Phoenix, right? All that dust. Yeah, that doesn't. When I first got here, I think there was a fantasy in my mind that, you know, let's stay here 5-ish years.
Yeah.
And I want to end up in St. Louis. Love the city. Still get back there as much as I can. And then, you know, one thing leads to another.
Right.
And
right.
25 plus years later, here we are.
Yeah.
So, but that's the great thing about Kansas City. And I've had other people telling me, I want to stay here for a few years and move on to something bigger.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, we kind of get our claws into you and you're.
Yeah.
Now you're here. So, and hopefully that if that's the direction you want to go 25 years from now, you're the elder statesman of Kansas City television, and
that's
it's all good.
That's the plan.
It's all good.
Yeah.
All right, so we've been visiting with Alex, and he's our fifth team member, five full-time meteorologists now here at Fox 4. You'll be seeing Alex predominantly on the weekend mornings, and then I don't even know. What else? Do we even know?
That's a good question. We haven't gotten exact confirmation on that. But as far as I know, as of right now, it'll be weekend morning, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Friday. Maybe a little bit of noon shows like I have been doing over the past couple of days. Maybe a little bit of something in the evening. Maybe something on the web. So look for my stuff on social media, Facebook, Twitter. All that kind of stuff.
So where can I mentioned today on Twitter to give you a follow. So let's try to bang out some of these social media.
Yeah, definitely
handles whatever.
Oh yeah,
whatever you kids call them these.
Yeah.
What's your Twitter handle?
Whatever. So Twitter is at AlexCountyWX.
And we should spell your last name.
Oh yeah, yeah. Last name is CountyE. So take out the Y and stick two E's on there. Instagram is the same thing, Alex County WX. Facebook, meteorologist Alex County. That's where you can find me.
All right, give him a follow.
Yes.
He's a good guy. You know, it was funny because I felt sort of awful about this, that Alex had come in and he had done interviews. I forget when it was. When was that?
God, the first one was January this year.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
I forget where I was, but I think I was in St. Louis or something like that for a trip. And then he started, and I was on vacation again. So when I walked in the other day to do my shift, I was like, oh, hi, Alex.
Yeah,
nice to see you. Welcome aboard.
See you.
Welcome aboard. But he seems like a really good guy, and that's what I've told him and Gary when Gary started. By the way, I promised Gary way back when. Gary, buddy, we're going to do a podcast with you. And then all of a sudden we got sidetracked and I had a million guests.
Yeah.
And so now you've kind of exceeded.
I lapped him a little bit.
Yeah,
All right.
Anyway, so give Alex a watch. Again, he'll be predominantly on weekend mornings, and then he'll be slotted in to our various shifts as vacations come along. Michelle's going to be on maternity leave during the summer, late spring, summer. So you'll be seeing a lot more of him and Gary, too. Gary Frank will be doing weekend evenings and then slotting in all over the place and filling in for me when I take off. So five full-time weather people, meteorologists, keep an eye on our weather here in Kansas City, and that's a good thing for all of us. And I think the ladies, especially in the morning, are most joyful that this is all working out. Thanks so much for listening to this particular edition of Joe's Weather World. We'll have another podcast for you coming up probably in about 10 days or so, as we'll be visiting with my fellow teammate, meteorologist Michelle Bogorith, about the biggest weather events. And we have different opinions of 2019, and we'll get her opinion, and I'll share with my opinion, and we'll discuss. So that's all coming up on the next edition of Joe's Weather World.